Welcome to the Stick Boy Podcast. I'm Joel Johnson, and today we're talking Stranger Things, and my co-host is Anthony. I haven't had you on any of these, have I?
No, you have not, Joel. We haven't done this before, but this is all new, but we got this.
So, yeah, so today we're talking about the second season of Stranger Things. It's been out, what, since the 27th?
Yes, since Friday.
And I binge-watched it in a whole day.
And I basically watched episode 1 to 8 on Friday, and then just watched the last episode yesterday.
Would you? So now, I guess let's talk about that final episode. That I get, and just as a heads up, there's spoilers galore here. So if you haven't watched Stranger Things or don't want to know what's going to happen, I think we're going to be jumping all over the place.
But so. I mean, like, the real question is, who hasn't watched it already?
Yeah, like, if you haven't seen it yet, then you kind of living under a rock. So, and that's not good. But that final episode. That was, like, the build-up to that. I think the best episode this year was that episode 8, the episode beforehand.
It was really good.
But episode 9 just, it felt different. It tied up a few loose ends, but it still kind of gave you an idea of where things are going to go. So
the thing that I really, really enjoyed about the last episode was how they set up the final scene and how it opened up more. Like, there's a whole story arc now that we know of, and that is gonna happen with the Upside Down world. Yeah. To me, that is, like, extremely amazing. And, like, everything leading up to it was just so cool with how they had the shadow creature, and they called him the Mind Flayer.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I just absolutely love that they are using names from Dungeons & Dragons. I've never played D&D.
Yeah.
But I think that's, like, super cool. That they're doing that.
And that's how, and one of the things that I was actually watching a video online about, just people using pop culture references for movies and using that to relate to people, and just how you do it, how you pay either homage, or you're kind of a straight satire, or you're kind of a ripoff. I think Stranger Things have done a really, really good job taking pop culture and small little things like Dungeons and Dragons and making it easier for these kids to communicate with each other. Yeah. Because it feels real. Because, I mean, if you, me, and Jesse are around, we're going to have our way of communicating. And, like you said, the group uses Dungeons & Dragons to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, is one of the smart writing things that the show does.
And, like, the other thing, too, is, like, what's really neat is not only that, but it's also 80s references. Like, a ton of things. Like, you and I were not around in the 80s, obviously. We were born in the 90s. But the point is like, showing us what it would have been like growing up in that time period is also really cool, with, like, how they communicate with walkie-talkies all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, if your friend doesn't respond on that walkie-talkie, guess you're not talking to them. Or, in order to get a hold of everybody, like, when we were younger, you had to call them by the house. There was no cell phones. And I think that is really good for the show. And it opens up a whole other playing field for them for communicating with the kids. And I think that's incredible.
And I think the other thing is, you speak about the walkie-talkies, you look at Dustin. He had to rely on Steve because he couldn't get a hold of everyone else.
Yes.
Will and Mike were tied up. Dustin had to deal with his mess. And I want to talk about Dustin. I've got words. And then Lucas was busy trying to get lucky.
Well, not... Okay. I wouldn't say Lucas was trying to get lucky, okay? Lucas was just... He was trying to find that connection with a girl the same way that Dustin was.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, the only other one in that group who had a connection with a girl was Mike.
Yeah.
And that was with 11.
Yeah.
Right?
It's really interesting to open this whole group up now to, and that's what we saw in the final episode. Each guy kind of paired off a bit. You finally got that moment with Mike and 11.
Is so good. We'll get to that later, but
you got Dustin struggling. But the nice thing with Dustin is he's now got a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like this character's development. Because we saw he had such a bad rap in the first season, and he was your stereotypical 80s
jock.
Bully.
Yeah, he's your typical jock. That's what his character was. Steve was the jock. Okay?
And then
to see him develop and grow into the character that he is now was phenomenal. So, like, okay, the thing that I thoroughly enjoyed about this season is each character's development. You know, like Mike, for example, he didn't really have much development till the end of the season when 11 came back, because everything up until that point he was kind of sad and, like, a little upset that Eleven was gone. He called her every day for 353 days, okay? And then when everything happened with Will, he was like, okay, great, now I kind of have a purpose, and he attached to Will. The thing that I loved about this season was how they paired people up together. And the pairing that they did was amazing. With Hopper and Eleven, I loved that.
Yeah.
With Mike and Will, that was perfect. With even Dustin and Steve was amazing. That was such a good pairing. And I was really happy to see Nancy and Jonathan together.
Yeah.
They worked together really well. And, like, let's not kid ourselves. We all knew that they had a crush on each other.
Oh, yeah.
In the first season when Nancy's having a conversation with Mike, and Nancy's like, oh, do you like Eleven? And Mike goes, what? No. Ew, gross. And he's like, oh, do you like Jonathan? And she goes, what? No. Obviously she did.
Yeah.
And then I also really liked the pairing between Lucas and Max.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was so good.
Speaking of Max, what'd you think of Billy?
I loved Billy.
See, Billy to me was a nice pushing up. He pushed Steve. Okay,
so, like, let me explain to you why I loved Billy. Because Billy is the character that you assumed Steve was going to turn out to be, but he never was. And Billy was actually their human presence of a bad guy.
Yeah.
He was their physical bad guy. Not like the creatures from the Upside Down world, but he was their actual in-the-moment bad guy.
Yeah.
That they had to, that was their obstacle that they had to deal with. And the fight scene at the end with him was so good when he just destroyed Steve, beat Steve up, and, like, at first you see Steve winning and you're like, okay, Steve is pretty tough. You know, that's our guy. That's,
yeah,
that's the jock that turned kind of hero type of thing, and then gets his ass beat by Billy.
Oh.
And you're like, whoa, what just happened? And then all of a sudden Max comes in and stops Billy. And I'm like, this is so perfect. And, like, that's the other thing too, is, like, yes, they added new characters, but the way they added them is so perfect, and they fit so well, and they meshed in with the story. Like, Max was amazing, Billy was perfect, even Bob. Bob was just such a nice little piece to the show.
I knew, going into this season, there was a lot of backlash about them adding these characters and adding these we can't mess with the dynamic, but
it didn't. It added, and it felt authentic, and it felt like, you know, they were a part of the show since the beginning.
Yeah.
Even though Bob and Max and Billy weren't. But when they added those characters and the way they went about it was perfect. It fits so well, and I really enjoyed it.
And I think each of them helped progress characters around them. And they did. I think that's the biggest thing with any show is when you introduce something new, it's got to be almost like a ripple effect in a pond. It's got to ripple out, and it's got to impact these characters in different ways. So when you get Max in, that that interrupted the group dynamic, that threw a wrench into everything, but it also gave them that they're Zoomer now.
Yeah, and it also, not only that, but it helped progress the group and it helped progress the story. Because by adding Max, you know, you have Dustin and Lucas together who have a crush on this girl.
Yeah.
However, it more works out in Lucas's favor because Dustin is too shy. So now because Dustin is no longer there, he relies on Steve, and Steve becomes his mentor.
Yeah.
And it helps Steve progress in his story, because he no longer wants to be that type of guy that Billy is.
Yeah.
So he now develops and feeds off Dustin.
Yeah.
And then as well as it helps progress the story with Mike, because when Mike and Max are in the gym, and she's showing him skateboarding, Eleven shows up to actually see Mike. Had you have had that whole scene where Eleven actually meets Mike, when that scene, though, when Eleven shows up in that house, and that badass intro,
yeah,
are you kidding me? That would not have been the same effect.
Yeah.
It would have been totally different.
I
really liked the way when they went about everything, when they added Max. She really helped progress everybody's character, and I loved that.
Yeah, and I think she's going to be a bigger player for the next season. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that. I think I read some of that. They're at least going to do 4. I think 4 seasons was
I believe that's what they're thinking of.
Yeah, because then they'll have the third... Because I don't think you can abuse Will for the third season.
No,
I think
can't. Will is kind of done. I'm really... I loved what they did with Will and how he became the spy, essentially. Yeah. That was amazing. Like, that whole thing with him was really cool. And, like, I love the whole reason why he stopped to face the shadow monster was because of the poor advice that he got from Bob.
Yeah.
Bob gave him terrible advice.
Yeah.
Bob, I loved how clueless he was and how innocent his mind was towards the situation. And when he was like, oh yeah, just stop and face the monster and tell him to go away. And when Will actually does it, it actually does not work out for Will, and he gets sucked in.
And you know the nice thing with Will, I was watching, it was called Beyond Stranger Things.
I was just going to ask if you watched that too.
I just watched the last one.
Okay.
Because I just finished it, and I just found it. Like, I wish they'd almost kind of paired it up with on Netflix, where you could kind of have
watch
the option.
In between?
Yeah.
Yes and no. I mean, the thing that I secretly wish with Beyond Stranger Things is that they did that for the first season.
Yeah.
Because watching that was actually really cool, and, like, you really got into the mind of the directors. Because the issue is like, when things go to Netflix, about 98% of the time, none of them come to DVD or Blu-ray. So you don't get that special features. Whereas the Beyond Stranger Things was a nice little talk, and you got to hear them interact with the directors and the cast, and you get to learn more about each episode. So I thought that was really nice, and I wish they did that for the first season.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the success, like, a Talking Dead has had, or a Talking Bad, when Breaking Bad's final season, they had that at the end of the episodes, which gave you another insight. And I mean, the information that they gave about Will, where they were talking that originally he was going to be evil Will sooner, and he was actually going to kill Bob earlier in one of the earlier stories, it just now adds to, you see how these creative people have a base idea and they build off of it. And the other thing you also learn is they wanted to keep Bob around.
Yeah.
Like, Bob was supposed to die earlier, and somehow they kept going, oh, let's keep him around. He's a great character to have.
And, like, the actor Sean Astin is amazing to start with. He's such a good actor anyways, and, like, I love that they had him in there.
Oh.
And I just thought he added such, like, an upbeat, positive attitude, and he was so helpful, too.
Yeah.
In finding where the tunnels were and everything, like, he actually ended up playing a bigger role than you expected him to.
Yeah.
And I loved that.
You just thought he was going to be the dorky boyfriend. And, like, I had a feeling, like, going into it, there's a certain point where, like, he's probably going to
die.
Someone has to die.
Right.
Because the biggest thing with Stranger Things that you could run a risk with is that lack of risk in the story, where you're like, oh, the main group will be fine, and... But when you get attached to a character like Bob, you're like, I don't want... Like, Max or Steve, you're like, okay, those guys can't die anymore.
I know.
You can't touch them. And then when Bob dies, and the way Bob dies is very well done. Oh. And it's very just... You see it, and that's such a big launching point for Will's mom. And that, I think that's going to play a role in her character development through season 3. Now, my question to you is Will's mom heading towards a relationship with Hopper?
Okay, so the Hopper and Joyce Byers, has always been something between the two of them. And you know that. They've even pointed it out. They've had history together.
Yeah.
Now, is something going to actually happen between the two of them? I don't necessarily think so.
Yeah.
I think they might, you know, kiss and then be like, okay, well, maybe we shouldn't do this. It's better off if we're not, right? Because each of them need to focus on their prospective relationships. Like, for example, Jim Hopper now is the father, technically, of Eleven. And, like, that's really important. He wants to have that father-daughter relationship, and he's going to work on it.
Yeah.
Because he has had several years without a daughter, and now he has 11, and he wants to take care of her, and he wants to nourish and cherish those moments with her. And I think that's really important for Hopper and for his character.
Well, that's the thing that I even forgot about, was he lost his daughter.
Yes.
And now he's regained, and that explains, and that's just that simple logic, character to character-wise, now you realize why Hopper was the way he was with 11.
And why he took so, like, the best care of 11, and he was so protective of her because he didn't want to lose her the same way he lost his first daughter.
Yeah.
And, like, that's why that fight that 11 and Hopper had was so well done and so perfect.
Yeah.
And the way those characters fought with each other was, like, so emotional, and I was like, man, this scene is, like, this is it. Wow.
Yeah. And, like, even when you see the first time after she's closed the gate and the mind flayer is now blocked off, and he embraces her and he hugs her, and that's I think they pointed out on Beyond beyond Stranger Things was this was the first real embrace for Eleven, besides having to kiss Mike and stuff like that. This was the first kind of parental embrace that was solely based on, I guess you'd call it love. Because his Papa was abusive.
He was a terrible person. Yeah. He threw her in the water and made her open the gate anyways.
Yeah. And she was ripped from her mother's arms. What'd you think of that?
Okay.
What'd you think of her backstory and that episode 7? That episode 7 seems to be so controversial. I
have a feeling, and like nothing against the writers of it, but like part of me felt like I've seen that from somewhere.
Yeah.
Like her story just felt way too familiar, and I'm like, man, I feel like I've seen that from either a movie or a show, but I can't put the name of it on it for the life of me. But I thought it was really interesting. It was a neat little take, and like I liked what they did, and I also liked the possibility that they opened up. So now that Eleven has gone to her mom's house, and she found out that she had that little black sister, right? Not her legit sister, but the girl that she was with, and we find her, and she ends up being number 8. Now, it puts in the question, like, we always wondered from the beginning, I don't know about you, but I always was like, man, what about the other 10 kids?
Yeah.
Right? Or is there another kid after 11? Now we finally see number 8, and she has different powers than 11. Meaning, the other, 9 kids then?
Yeah.
Have different powers as well. And I'm curious as to see what their powers are, or if they're even important to us. And now, and, like, the one thing that I thought of, too, was I kind of was hoping for a little more with 8.
Yeah.
When we saw 8...
Because that's how they kicked the season off, was 8.
With 8. And I was like, oh, shit, this is intense. What is this, right?
And then you forget about it.
And then you forget about her, and then you see her again in episode 7. And then, all of a sudden, when you get to the end, and they have Will locked up, and they're like, oh, we don't want him to know where he is because he's a spy. I'm thinking... Oh man, is 11 gonna show up? Is 11 gonna bring 8? And is 8 gonna change Will's mind so he's no longer in the place because she can make him see things?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that'd be so cool. Is that gonna happen? And it didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking now, okay, well, what are they gonna do with 8? What is her role in the show now? Because you can't just introduce her and only have her in for that little bit and have her play, like, the opening scene of the season.
I think, and just from a guessing standpoint, is we obviously know that the Upside Down still very much exists.
Yes.
Very aware of 11, very aware of the kids now, very much that they've had that connection with Will is now broken, but still aware of everyone. And because he was a spy, they saw everyone. So they know who that group that took them down is.
Yes.
So my guess would be that, okay, we're going to have to wrap up the Upside Down, but I think what's really going to play a factor in is those 11 other kids. Because the thing is with her, you could tell when they left episode 7 and when 11 took off, Eight was not a happy camper about this.
She still wanted to be a part of 11's life.
Yeah.
And like they said, there's a reason why they found each other.
Yeah.
But we don't know yet what that reason is.
And it's going to be really interesting how that plays out. I thought in a universe with so much depth to their characters, I thought, you know, it's hard to do it, but I felt that these characters were very kind of flat, cardboardy characters. They're someone you would expect to see in an 80s movie.
Like, yeah.
What is that kids movie with the gangs in the 80s? I don't know. I thought there was a movie that, like
with Ponyboy in them?
Yeah.
The Outsiders?
Yeah, something like that, but just kind of more kind of punky.
Yeah.
Kind of in that realm of things. I think that's what they're trying to go for. And I do think they come back. But I think the problem is, and I think this is why it gets so much backlash, you end with the demodogs, as Dustin likes to call them, crawling up, and then you cut away from that world. And I get why you had to do it, because you had to push 11 to wanting to come back. Because you need to get her to come back, but at the same time, you end on that cliffhanger, and all I wanted to do was, like, how are they getting out of this? And I click on the next episode, and I'm like, I have to wait an hour to find out what happened. And, of course, I keep watching, because...
Yes, but I also like the progression of it, because not only did it help progress the story, it helped us progress with 11, and... Because imagine if it just had the scene of Eleven showing up, and you'd be like, why? Where did Eleven go?
Yeah.
What did Eleven do? Then there'd be that whole backlash of, why didn't we see what Eleven was doing? Where was she this whole time? Now we know.
Yeah.
And I liked how, even though the episode's tied up, I mean, you alternatively could have had it where the Eleven episode is before that one, maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, either way, it still worked the way it worked. I think all the episodes flowed very well.
Yes.
In my opinion, they worked, and the flow was very nice.
I felt...
The pace was good.
I felt, for the most part, the flow was really good. I felt the episode 7 kind of jumbled it a bit, but it didn't take long for it to gain that momentum again. And when you return and you see the world that they're in now, and you're like, oh, how are they going to resolve this? I thought, you know, all in all, they did a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the season was very strong for what it was. And is it better than the first season?
Okay, so I've thought about this a lot. When you compare the first season and the second season together, I kind of thought about it, and I came to the conclusion that you can't. You can't compare the two seasons. And the reason I say that is because each season has its own story and its own arc, but yet it combines together, and it's its own full story arc. But each season ties into that, right?
Yeah.
So with the first season, it was phenomenal, okay? If we talk, like, budget-wise and production value and cast and everything, sure, maybe the second season, but that's just because they got more money.
Yeah.
But the first season as a whole is still so perfect. That is one season that you can watch over and over and not get bored by it. The same as the second season, you know? So when you compare the two together, you can't really say, season two is better than season one, or season one is better than season two. Because, you know, in season two, we have more Will.
Yeah.
In season one, we have more Mike and Eleven, you know? And Max is now a bigger role in season two, and, like, you can't really compare the two seasons, because they're kind of different.
Yeah. No, and I completely agree with you on that, because that's the one thing I think people get bogged down in is, oh, was this better than last season? Like, I mean, if you look at a show like Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, anything, each season has different art, and I don't want to talk about Walking Dead.
Let's move past that one.
Yeah, my eyes are closed. I don't know. I think that's the first show in a while that I've given up on.
Listen, with Walking Dead, real quick, I gave up on season 5. I watched like 4 episodes of season 5 and I was done.
I gave up 7? Was that last season?
Yeah,
with,
7 was the last season.
I saw the bashing of brains. And then I just watched it, and I was just kind of started to peter off, and I spent more time on my phone than watching it.
Yeah.
Then I forgot an episode.
Yeah.
Then I forgot another episode. Then I got busy doing something else.
And then just moved on.
Yeah, and I was
that happened.
See, and the thing with Stranger Things is you're hooked.
It went from start to finish, you were hooked, and that's what I mean. And, like, that's, like, the beauty, but the also downfall of Netflix is when you watch one episode, you're not watching one episode. I got home, and I watched episodes 1 to 8, and I was like, oh, man. And then I ended up getting busy, so that's the only reason why I never finished it, in the day it came out.
Yeah.
Or else I would have easily finished it in the day it came out.
Oh, what I did was I watched it the first day, and then I was like, okay, I'll watch the first episode, and I was really tired, so I was like, okay, it seems to be good, I'm excited, I'll watch a couple episodes, I'm not going to burn through this. And the next day, I ended up spending more time sitting and watching than doing anything.
Yeah.
And, like, I have, we've got 2 wiener dogs at home, and I'm sitting there, and I'm yelling at the TV, and they perk up, and they're like, what are you doing? You're disturbing us.
Yeah.
I'm like, but you gotta realize, guys, Will or someone's in trouble.
Yeah.
I thought, who was the standout for you this year? If you had to pick one character.
One character that stood out for me the most in this season would probably have to be... Okay, instead of character, I would say group.
Group?
Because if we were to go by just character, I would say it's a little harder.
Yeah.
But if we grouped it up with, like, you know, the Mike and Will, Max and Lucas, Steve and Dustin, Nancy and Jonathan, Hopper and Eleven, if we grouped them up like that, I would probably say the group that stood out to me the most in character-wise and, like, the chemistry was Steve and Dustin. To me, that just seemed like such a perfect fit. And I really loved the development that we saw from Steve. he was heartbroken in the first two episodes, okay?
Yeah.
From Nancy. And then even Dustin was heartbroken because, you know, Lucas and Max started hanging out. And he was kind of like, well, I've got nobody. And I loved how those two met up. It was so funny and it was so perfect outside of Nancy and Mike's house. And Dustin's like, oh, these flowers are made perfect. Let's go. And he's like, do you still have that bat? And Steve's like, what do you mean? He's like, you know, the bat with nails. And he's like, oh, yeah. And he's like, perfect, let's go. I need your help. And he just gets in his car and has the flowers still. And I just thought that was so funny. And it was such a perfect way to put those two characters together. And the conversation that they had as they're walking down the railroad tracks was just amazing, right? Yeah. And it just, like, it really made you think, man, these two characters are really good for each other. And they're really helping each other develop. You know?
I completely agree. If we're going to go off the pairings, and even the single characters, I was going to say Steve, because I think Steve, you saw that growth with Steve, and you saw the one thing I always like in a show, and this is the one knock that I always had against Batman vs. Superman, was it was very dark, and didn't have a lot of humor to it, and in Stranger Things, you can get really bogged down into the darkness, mm-hmm. and the demons and everything running around, but with Steve and Dustin, there's that little bit of comedy that you can seep in. Like, when Dustin's trying to say demi-dogs, and everyone's like, I don't care yeah. what they're called. And he's trying to get that name patented. And it's just like, we don't care, Dustin. And I thought that was good. I was so glad that they did not eat Yertle the Turtle.
My favorite thing is, everybody's like, what happened to the turtle? What happened to the turtle? The turtle's still alive, but like, whatever. But, like, the other thing, too, is, like, I was really finally happy to see that they finished the barf thing.
Yeah.
Because, personally, for me, I don't know about you, but in season one, I just didn't care for Barb. Whatever. She had no reason in the show. She had no...
She was just a prop.
She was just there, and she needed to die anyways. And yeah. why people cried over Barb's death makes no sense to me. I'll never get it. I didn't care for Barb. I didn't think she was that good of a character anyways. But that was the difference with season two, is like, even though Bob died, Bob served a purpose. His character was actually meaningful, and like, I really liked Bob's character as a whole, and even by the end, I was like, kind of upset that Bob died.
I think they learned from Barb, because, no, when Barb died, I was like,
oh, whatever, Barb's dead, who cares?
Is like, from a standpoint, from a writing standpoint, you can kind of go, okay, Barb is there to guilt Nancy and mm-hmm. rope in Nancy and Jonathan Moore into these creatures and create it more about than just about Will.
Yeah.
And it was very kind of like, I don't care about Barb. But it was nice because now you kind of wrap that storyline up and it makes sense. And like, okay, yeah, no, they conspiracy theorists. They shut down that building finally. That building's gone.
Yeah.
So technically you think, okay, it's done and over with now. It's not, clearly. But for now we're going to be like, oh, it's done and over with. Woo! But with Barb, her parents finally got
the ending they needed, which I appreciated that. And I'm happy they did that. And I'm happy with how everything panned out in season two when Nancy and Steve were at the party and Nancy was wasted and she screamed at Steve and was like, this is bullshit, our relationship's bullshit, we killed Barb, even though she's not the reason why Barb died just because the demigorg.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I just thought that was really neat and really well done, and, like, Nancy's freak out was perfect, and she didn't remember any of it, and Jonathan's the one who took her home, and it was kind of like, you know, it all worked out, and I thought it was really cool, and it helped progress the story in every way.
Now, I've got a question for you. I can vaguely remember, but when Jonathan was talking to Nancy about what happened that night,
yeah.
did Steve get Jonathan to take her?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Steve phoned Jonathan and said, hey, come pick her up.
Yeah, because he was in no state to drive either, so... Responsible Steve again!
Right? And that's the thing. That's what I mean. It's like, Steve really showed the character he can become. And the character that he will be. And I loved... My favorite line from Steve was, don't worry, I guess I'm a pretty good babysitter now.
Yeah.
Because he was watching the kids and he helped them set up the trap for the demi-dogs. And, like, I just thought that was so cool. And I loved when they were in the tunnels and Dustin stops and pulls out three musketeers to give... Dart some nougat, okay? Can anybody explain to me what nougat is? Because I don't even know.
I can't. I've probably eaten nougat before,
it's
but...
It's in everything. Like, a lot of chocolates it's in. Not everything, but it's in some chocolates.
Yeah.
I've eaten it, but I don't know what it is. But
Dart really liked it,
Dart
so.
Loved it. And I thought, like, that connection between Dart and Dustin alone was amazing.
See, and that's
I
the
loved
thing.
It. I loved how that happened and how Dart didn't eat Dustin, even though he was a demi-dog.
Yeah.
Essentially.
It was very neat because you knew the minute he found that little slug. You knew exactly what it was, and he was like, burn it, set it on fire, get rid of it.
I had a feeling. I wasn't 100% sure. I was like, oh man, is that going to be a demigorg? Because, like, what else could it be, right? And then it turns out to be a demi-dog. Same thing, but, like, you know.
Well, it kind of... That was a thing. When it started eating the cat, I was like, I knew it.
Yeah, I know. Ate the cat, and I was like, oh, shit, I knew it.
Had and then
feeling.
His mother, how he deals with
his mother. His relationship with his mother was so perfect. I loved it. And that was the other thing, too, with season two, is we really got to experience their home lives.
Yeah.
You know? Lucas's sister was my favorite character. She was so funny. She was hilarious when she was in her room playing with the He-Man and her Barbie doll. And Lucas walks in, what are you doing? I knew you had it. No, they're in love. No, He-Man is not in love. They're not even from the same parallel.
Oh, and that's the thing. You got to see these interactions that feel genuine and real among these characters, which is, I think, the biggest appeal with Stranger Things. It's not these demons running around. At its heart is these characters that connect and you can relate to. You'd be like, yeah, I relate to Dustin. I relate to Will. I relate to...
Mike.
I don't... 11, I guess, it's that person that is kind of an outcast.
11 is an outcast. She has no real family, but now she has friends and she has Hopper, and that's her family and friends. And like she says to number 8... I need to go home and help them. I need to save them. And she's like, yeah, but what? They don't need you. Like, you can't do anything. And she's like, no, I can protect them. They're my family. It's home. And she knows that. She knows that is her home now.
Yeah.
Because she felt and made such a connection with all the characters. You know?
And I think that's the biggest thing that you can take from this is... It's that creation of home for 11. And I guess my other question for you, so is Billy going to hook up with Will's mom? Or not Will's mom, Mike's mom.
No. Okay, that was actually so funny, and I thought that was awesome. Like, I thought that was a really, really well done. Because, like, you know, those things happen. Kids hit on parents all the time. But, like, I just thought it was really funny and really well done. And, like... It really adds to Billy's character.
Yeah, because we know what Billy's like. We've seen how he treated
Max,
and you saw his relationship with his father.
Which also, I loved how they did that. They really gave more into Billy's life.
Yeah,
you know?
Because I
and
think
that was
Billy's
awesome.
Going to be a bigger, because we even saw it with that look from Max to Billy at the end of the season,
mm-hmm.
You see that look between the two of them,
uh-huh.
And you're like, there's more there. Billy does not forget that bat going close to something very important to him.
And her drugging him and putting him to sleep. Absolutely not. And stealing his car.
Oh, and her driving the vehicle
was awesome.
Great.
Steve wakes up. What's going on? And he's like freaking out. That was amazing.
And he's like, we're gonna die.
That's what I mean. Like, everything about it was really well done. And I loved how they added the characters and all the character development. What did you think of Jonathan and Nancy going to that guy's house with the tape?
You know, it makes sense. I think it's kind of an afterthought now after watching the whole thing. Because, yeah, they had to kind of bring down that. Because I don't think that the government would eventually... It seemed like they had a nice doctor. But you even saw it when they're talking about wanting to protect Will. And that doctor's the only one wanting to protect Will. The rest of the doctor's like, burn it. I don't care what happens to the kid.
Yeah, let him die.
So you can see that the corruption was still very much there and is still very much going to eventually cause more problems. So it makes sense to want to remove that. They're not completely gone because, let's be honest, you can't get rid of characters that easy, especially something like the government and especially their research, and especially where they know that there's another universe. And
mm-hmm.
I think that... the Doctor had a very interesting arc where he kind of went from villain, ominous villain, like he's there and he's threatening Nancy and Jonathan, and then it seems really stupid that they didn't think they'd have a tape recorder or something. Like, why did she get to bring her bag with her when she's going through?
Yeah,
that's
some things, but whatever.
You're going to always have little holes within the plot, but I thought that was important for those two characters because It was very similar to which indie movie was it? It was Indiana Jones. I think it was Last Crusade, where Indy and this girl, and they're kind of going back and forth, where you see shots of them kind of fumbling around. I thought, all in all, that was important for Nancy and Jonathan, because it finally got them to where they needed to be.
Yeah, and it brought them closer, in my opinion. Not just, like, they only hang out when bad things happen. It actually helped them become stable and good characters for each other.
Yeah, and not only that, but now, and in the end, when Will is going through all the stuff, you've got Nancy with the poker and burning Will, but she was there
with Jonathan and Joyce, and I thought that was really cool. And I liked, that's what I mean by, like, all the pairings that happened in this season, everybody who was paired together, somebody worked out perfectly.
Yeah,
and it really helped progress the story.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, and that's the thing where you've got a progression now. You've got a chance to start pushing things forward with all these characters, and I think heading into season 3, because there will be a season 3.
Yeah, obviously. There's more to it. It's all about the Upside Down world now.
Yeah.
Because the Mind Flayer is not dead.
No, and the government's still going to be around in some way. The government's going to open the portal back up, and I think that's where it comes back to these other kids. I think there's going to be another introduction of someone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more, and I think if you're going to do it, you got to introduce someone more powerful than 11. Because now you need a challenge. Because Eva, I feel like 11 is now the most powerful being in the Stranger Things world from a human standpoint.
She is, yes.
So you need to have a challenge for her, and I'm sure that there's more mythos to her that we can delve into that could be a weakness for her. But I think I do wonder, because we saw it, Hopper spent some time in the Upside Down in those tunnels. Is he going to end up infected in some way? Because it seems like
it splashed in his face.
Yeah, same with Dustin.
But Dustin didn't actually get it in his mouth. He was just being dramatic.
Yeah.
Hopper actually did, because he didn't have protective gear on.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to say what they'll do with that, but, like, I am interested.
Because,
you know, like,
If I'm writing right now and I'm thinking of a way to really... Because I guess I've always looked at the last season before the final season as kind of that Empire Strikes Back mold, where you don't have to do it verbatim, but I think if you really want to take a shot at 11, it's put Hopper in peril, and I'd almost be ballsy enough to kill him at the end of season 3, because you could kind of play that off where... Because the Upside Down has to take something more than just Barb and Bob.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be another B. I'm sorry. It's got to go somewhere else. And I don't think it's going to be the kids that are going to get it. So it could end up being Joyce. It could end up being Hopper. I think it will, because 11's a bigger threat now than Will. And I think that may be the way they go. I may be completely wrong, and they may go...
It's hard to say, right?
Yeah,
that's the thing.
That's the cool thing, because there are some shows and there's some programming that you can be like, this, 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 and they'll get to this. And it'll happen verbatim. Like, when I watch the last little bit of Dexter, I'm like, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And it'll happen, and I cried. And I've never watched Dexter again. Never again.
That's fair.
It broke my heart, damn it. But this show, again, it's really hard to sit there and be like, where am I going to go? Like, we had an idea at the end of season 1 where we were kind of like...
Was not expecting this, though, you know?
Yeah. You had an idea where it was going to go, but you didn't... You thought, okay, is Will going to be... Because there was some early, when the first trailer came out and you saw the big Mind Flayer sitting in the background, you're like, is that what Will's going to turn into? Is Will going to be turned into the big bad for this season? And he kind of was, but he wasn't. So now you've left the door wide open. All you saw was an ominous image of this Mind Flayer. You know what it is, and you're just going to have to wait. Mm. And, I mean, it's neat to see, because you see these characters grow. Like, everyone, these kids
In this season, every character grew and became more of a lovable, and, like, you felt more of a connection to each character. Opposed to, like, the first season, it was really good, but it was more focused on Mike and 11.
Yeah.
And a little bit of Will, but you didn't know much about Will besides the fact that he was lost.
Yeah.
In the Upside Down world. And this season, they really focused on each character, and I thought that was really cool. And they focused on relationships with everybody, and, like... The way, that's what I mean, like, with this season, character-wise, it was amazing. I loved it.
The music selection through
Ollie's
this...
so good.
The music was good.
I loved the snowball. The snowball was perfect. That was such a good way to end it, too.
The editing was really good as well. Like, just the cuts and the placement and color tone, everything that they did through this whole season, just it clicked again. Like there were some people going, can they live up to this pressure?
Of course they can.
And I think that they can.
They proved it.
And I think the thing that they do so well is they know what their world is. They're having fun in the sandbox. So they're like, all right, let's keep playing in the sandbox and let's just keep going. And
there's so many possibilities. Also, when I was watching the Beyond Stranger Things in the first one, they talk about some foreshadowing a bit with Dragon's Lair. I don't know if you realize this, but in Dragon's Lair, when they were playing it, and you know how Lucas makes fun of Dustin for not getting Princess Daphne, and he says, I get her, not you. Princess Daphne is actually Max.
Ah!
I didn't realize that until they, you know, brought it up in the Beyond Stranger Things, and that's what I mean by, like, I really enjoy that. So yeah, that was actually a little bit of a foreshadow, whereas Lucas gets Princess Daphne, which is Max, whereas Dustin doesn't. And then as well, when Dustin's super good at Dig Dug, but Max beats his score. Dig Dug is just essentially the tunnel game with aliens. And what were they doing? They were in tunnels with aliens.
And Dustin was kind of the one that saved them all.
Exactly. He was the one who knew.
Huh.
So yeah, there's a little bit of foreshadowing from even the beginning and those little bits of things that you didn't realize.
It's those little breadcrumbs. It was very subtly done, but yeah, I harken back to, it's something that you can rewatch again. It's like Get Out. Get Out is something you can watch again and again, and you'll always find something different.
And that's what I really like, too, is, like, obviously I'm gonna rewatch season 2 again.
Yeah.
There's no way, like, around it. I'm gonna watch it as a whole, and I'm also gonna watch it with season 1, and, like, you know, you'll start to pick up new things as you watch it, and be like, oh, there's this, oh, now I know this, and, like, that's the thing with this show, is, like, there's always something new you'll pick up from it.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Anything else you'd like to add about... This would be something I would say go and watch.
Yeah.
If you like sci-fi, you like character development, if you like diving back into the world of the 80s, if you watched the first season, it's well worth going back to watch.
Absolutely.
And even if you haven't watched the first season, it's well worth watching.
Watch the first season, watch the second season, both
and then watch them again.
Like, it's a show that you can watch over and over and never get bored. Even though you know it's gonna happen, you're always gonna find something new.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I love about it.
I'm sure when I go back, because I'll probably watch it again,
oh, yeah.
I'm sure that there's little things that you start to pick up on. Like, oh, this is really cool. And it's just, I'm already, they mentioned, it was funny because when they talked about when 11 would be safe to kind of come out,
is
a
year.
Yeah, so we kind of have an idea that a year from now we're going to get to meet these characters again. They're going to put them into production. There were some rumors, there were some issues where they wanted to shoot seasons 3 and 4 back together, but that got nixed. I'm okay with that, and I'm okay if they take a couple year of a time jump, because then you can just pull from more stuff from the 80s. Because, I mean, we saw in the beginning with the Terminator, kind of that... the mention of the first Terminator movie, and Billy was beating Steve, kind of like the Terminator. It was kind of shot like the Terminator, kind of had the feeling like the Terminator, and Billy was just like that Terminator, like you couldn't stop him. But Max found a way.
I also love, though, the Ghostbusters thing.
Yes.
They dressed up as the Ghostbusters. And I don't know if you caught this little Easter egg sort of thing. So the boys dressed up as all the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Minus Winston. Nobody wanted to be Winston. But what did 11 dress up as?
A ghost.
I just thought that was really neat right there.
I thought
that was such a cute little Easter egg to have. The boys dressed up as the Ghostbusters and 11 wanted to be a ghost.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
I thought that was either a callback to the Ghostbusters or that was a callback to Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown.
Yes.
There's so many different things, and that's the thing that the show does so well, is it pulls from little things. Like 11 is kind of like E.T. but with a twist.
Yeah.
And you just see little things getting pulled and little 80 references.
I don't know if you ever noticed this too, but like the 353 days thing.
Yeah.
If you add it up, it equals 11. 3 plus 5 plus 3 equals
11. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
oh.
I saw that and I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. So there's a little bit of like a whole bunch of nods like that and little Easter eggs that I find are really cool, and like when you watch it again you'll be like, oh, I get it now, oh, that's really cool, and then you start picking up on more things.
Hey, you caught more than me. Like I definitely gonna be going back to watch more, and there's some great articles online about some of the,
exactly,
kind of their...
so many things. And that's the other thing too, is like this show did such a good job that there's so many articles and so many things and like so many talks about it, And, like, there's just so much information that you might not pick up the first or second times, but somebody else did, or you picked up something that somebody else didn't, and, like, there's just so much information about the show, and it's just, that's what a show should be, and that's how you know a show is good, if there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, because, I mean, how many times did we sit here and talk about Breaking Bad?
Exactly,
and
right?
Just dissecting everything building up to that last season. So it's the same thing now with Stranger Things. It will cool off, and it will... The spring, the winter and spring will roll through, and you'll kind of cool off with Stranger Things. Other shows will pop up, but as then, you start to get closer...
As we get closer again to the third season, it'll be the same as the second season.
Yeah.
The hype comes back, and everybody starts talking about it again before the next season, because, like, after the first season came out, it blew up.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
let's be honest, it was huge after the first season.
And it was one of those quiet little sleeper
It was a show that Netflix just snuck onto their... service provider and just boom, blew up. It was huge and overnight, you know.
And I mean, we're recording this on Halloween. How many Stranger Things costumes do you think we'll see out and about?
Lots. Even as last year, there was tons of Stranger Things.
It's just, it's that show that it fits the perfect timing for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Everything kind of just ties into where this all works, and you can just push this product out and people will consume it, and,
mm-hmm.
like, the one thing that I've always maintained is content is king. Content is absolutely important to any sort of streaming service, any sort of TV channel, and if you've got a show like Stranger Things, you've got money in the bank.
Yep.
Because people will tune in, and, I mean, sure, there's some pressure on it, there's always going to be pressure on it, because I think people will have these expectations. But I think as long as they stay true to who they are and as a story...
Like what they did with season 2, you know? Like, there was obviously some skepticism. Like, oh, this might be good, this could be bad. It lived up to the hype, it lived up to what it should be, and it stayed true to the show.
Yeah.
You know, like, nothing changed from season 1. Yes, they got a bigger budget, and they had more money to work with, but, like, other than that, it still stayed true to what Stranger Things was in the first season.
You got everything you wanted out of it, and I really enjoyed it. I recommend to go and watch it. I really enjoyed it. It's just, and I think it's one of those shows that you can watch with your youngish family, not like 6 or 5 year old. Here, look at these Demogorgons.
But like, you can too though, because like, they might not understand the whole story, but it's still really cool and it's visually appealing to watch to everybody.
And that's the other thing, is it visual. And that's one thing, it has the visuals, it has the writing, it has the acting. Everything's kind of clicking on all cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
I am interested to see, I don't know if you heard this, but the actor that played Jonathan got denied entry into the United States. Because they found trace amounts of cocaine on his suitcase.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
So, maybe Steve still got a chance for a love interest? Maybe not. I think it'll all get cleared up, and I think Jonathan will be back. Because I think Jonathan will play a vital role in what's next for Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's more to this storyline. You know, I don't think the government's done with either one of them.
No.
So.
I think it's going to be interesting. I'm excited for it.
But,
Keep watching season 2 and 1 again until season 3 comes
just
out.
Just keep, have you stopped watching Netflix? Nope. Just keep it playing. Keep it playing on loop.
Right.
I guess since both of us feel pretty good about Stranger Things, there's one other little subject to talk about, kind of ties into the Netflix world. You haven't seen it, but I love the show, and this is going to be interesting how this plays out, but briefly... Kevin Spacey's in a bit of hot water.
Yeah, I heard.
I guess I'll break down what happened. It was, 2 days ago?
I think so, yeah.
It was 2 days ago. One of the actors from Star Trek Discovery had released a article with the help of one of their writers on BuzzFeed News about when he was 14, he had ended up at an adult party, was bored, and Spacey was there. Spacey kind of took a shining to him, and he kind of picked the kid up like a groom would pick up a bride, put him on the bed, and the boy did, and it seemed like he was trying to seduce the boy, and the boy kind of rejected it. Spacey was drunk at the time, and this kind of broke, and Spacey knew about it because the article writer had reached out to their camp for comment. There's nothing. And then about a couple hours later, Spacey released this long thing about it. He doesn't deny what happened. He says, I was drunk and I don't remember. And he says he's got to re-examine his actions. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to live my life as a gay man now. Now, anyone that's been in Hollywood or around Hollywood, that's kind of the worst kept secret that Spacey is either bisexual or gay. But House of Cards, which was one of the pillars for Netflix, which is one of their first really dipping into that original content and really got the ball rolling for them. I think the first season had 46 Oscar Emmy nominations.
Something like that, yeah.
So it was a big deal, and now production has halted on season 6. Season 6 has, as people are saying, it's been canceled. So this season will be the last season in light of the Spacey news. And there's even some rumblings that this final season might not come out. I guess for you're not a fan of House of Cards.
Just never watched it,
Yeah.
never got into it.
What do you think of them potentially not airing that final season?
It's.
Because this is really murky water. Like, we live in a world now, and because we do have a wrestling podcast, so there was, I don't know if you heard about this, I'll tell you off air, but there was a guy that did wrestling videos that his company, he started a company, and even before the company launched, he had to leave because he had pressured and solicited nudes from women between the ages, he was pushing towards his 30s, they were 18, 19, and he picked on vulnerable women and then shut them down, causing mental health issues for them and just disrupting their life greatly by wanting nudes, getting the nudes, and then disappearing from their lives, blocking them. The Harvey Weinstein, which is a whole
Oh
big
yeah.
mess, and now Spacey. How do you think this is? Do you think Netflix is in their right to?
So not air the last season. It's a little bit of yes and no. Like yes, obviously because they don't for liability reasons, but at the same token, like it's already finished filming, they already have everything and
They're
like
closed. They
it's
have
like
called.
almost done, right?
Yeah.
But like being able to air it is obviously difficult. It's a 50-50. It's one of those gamble things. So if they choose to air it, they're obviously gonna have people who are angry and like, oh, why would you air it? You support him, blah blah blah. And if they don't air it, then there's gonna be the people who are like, oh, why wouldn't you air it? We need to know what happens. How could you cancel the show just because of one guy, you know? Even though, to my understanding, Kevin Spacey is the main character in
He
House of
is
Cards.
and the weird thing is he kind of feels like that character more now, because Frank Underwood, I guess you'd kind of he at the very best I would say he was bisexual, and he's very manipulative of his situation, and he conquered and he rose to the top. And now with this Spacey stuff, it's I don't know, it's tough because I really like the show. I really like Spacey as an actor. Now, when I think of Spacey as an actor, I think of some creepy guy going after. Like, it's one thing, so I do wonder if there's more. No. And that's the
That's
thing
the thing. There's
now.
always two sides to a story, right?
Yeah.
So we don't really know. And, like, if they were to cancel it, yes, it'd suck. And it would also be hard for them because they just spent money on the show.
And it's one of their,
Highest rated
I
shows.
think they spend a million
It's.
or.
No, their most expensive Netflix show, I found out, was The Get Down.
Is it?
Which was also really good, but only had two volumes,
Oh.
unfortunately. But it was that was one of their most expensive shows.
Okay.
So, you know, like all the money that they put into House of Cards though,
Yeah.
you know, that's where the 50-50 issue lies of do we air it or do we not air it,
Yeah.
you know?
And I think it would be interesting to see because obviously there is more to this than what we know right
Yep.
now. But in a world now where like we've had very swift like Harvey Weinstein's now blocked from the Producers Guild of America. He's been basically blackballed. Do you if more come if obviously if more comes out about Spacey, he's going to get blackballed. But do you think this one
Incident.
is going to
It's
blackball him, or should it blackball him? I guess it's a moral question now of
one of those things that's really tricky, 'cause like if we're being honest, like, I would say a solid probably 80% of Hollywood is trash and they all do terrible things. Let's not kid ourselves. Like,
well,
a couple years ago, the Bill Cosby thing came out.
Bryan Singer.
Even in Canada, the Jean Gomeshi thing, you know, yeah. Like the radio host or the... So, like, these things happen all the time. Are we shocked about it? No, but it is kind of shocking. But it's like, who knows what's going to happen from here on out, right? Like, it's just... To me, what it feels like all the time is, like, it'll just come in spurts, you know? Like,
yeah.
We had the Harvey Weinstein one, and now we have Kevin Spacey, and then who's next kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's hard to say what'll happen, but, like, I guess we'll just kind of see. Wait it out and see.
It's going to be interesting, but, I mean, when this all broke, this is a big deal to network, but more importantly, this is a big deal to the person that took... I would guess that he took the courage from everything that happened with Harvey, the hashtag Me Too. I think all that stuff kind of came out, and I think it's motivated some people to say stuff and just be like,
it does,
because I think you know, it's that standing up for yourself, mm-hmm. and kind of, because if this was a once incident, he still needs to pay for what he's done.
Yeah.
But if this can spur on more people to come out and say stuff, and I'm not talking about people that are just looking for attention and just flat out lying, but people that were victimized in some way come out and say something. Because, I mean, look at it. We spend 45 minutes talking about a cast full of young kids,
mm-hmm.
that are around that age of 14 that, yeah. If you heard anything like that happen, that'd be terrible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so it's one of those things now. It's like, protect these young actors and actresses coming into Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely something to pay attention to for Netflix. I think that's the one thing people are looking to. Okay, how does Netflix handle this?
Yeah.
If Netflix completely pulls the plug, then that's kind of a... That's judge, jury, and executioner in a way.
Yeah, and it'll play a role in what they start putting out next.
Yeah. But I think that's it. Stranger Things, must watch.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Spacey, you're going to find out one way or
yeah,
the other
exactly.
how that's going to play out. Any social media for you to plug, Anthony? We can't find you at all? Or?
Oh, no, you can find me. My Instagram is Supreme Wizard. My Twitter is Greg the Kitten. And, yeah.
You can find me at Joel Johnson TV on Twitter. But I mostly use Instagram these days,
yeah.
So I post pictures.
Yep.
Yeah. But make sure you check out more podcasts. We're going to have Anthony on a lot more to talk about a lot more programming and other things. Like, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
But make sure you stay tuned and subscribe, and you'll hear from us eventually.
Sounds good.